See what happens. For a couple of minutes, we're going to talk about growing in the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And Chris, if you'd be so kind to just make sure our folks have a copy of the notes so that they can follow along. I understood that you talked a little bit on last week. I was in the Bahamas visiting with my family, had myself a great time. Got to enjoy some good food and some good old island fellowship. So it was a great time that I had, and I got to do some stuff I hadn't been able to do before, but God is able and God is good. So this morning we're talking about growing in the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And in the season of Advent, when God sent forth his Son into the world, we find ourselves in a much darker place, seemingly, than we have ever been before. More than any time in many of our adult lives, we need Jesus Christ, the light of the world, to shine brighter than ever and fill us with the light of his love. And I am so blessed that that's what David prayed about a few minutes ago. The corresponding light of believers needs to shine more than ever. God has promised to fill us with his light, and that our lights would shine as lights on a hill, illuminating the world. God desires to fill his people with light and wisdom to bring about a transformation of our times and to allow us to shine brightly as the stars. God, responding to the disbelief and to the disobedience of the nation of Israel, declared in Numbers 14 and 21, "But indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord." God has desired, has planned, and will ultimately usher in an age and an era when the earth will be filled with the glory of God. He has invested in us, and he has given us of his Spirit, whereby more of the world is filled with the Spirit of God, impacting and influencing the world. Each time two of us come together, the devil should get really, really upset. And take it from me, that brother is upset this morning because, to use some old island phrases, we put some licks on him this morning. Amen? The praise was just all the way up there. And I know as you worship, he got really upset this morning. We've taken the power of one when we come together and we have multiplied it tenfold. And so, you know, you can do your arithmetic. One can chase 1,000, and then two, when two come together, it's not just 2,000, but two can chase 10,000. And so we've multiplied it, and we've taken it all the way up. It must also indicate to us the power of darkness and the concentration of darkness in the world. We are living in a dark time. We're living in a time when darkness has just taken over so many areas. And, you know, during the summer, when we talked about that pall of darkness that rests over our world, that rests over our globe with some of the experiments they were doing in Europe. There is an atmosphere, there is a pall of darkness that rests over our world, that rests over America, that rests over our city, that rests over our nation. And this particular Christmas, it has been a time of struggle for so many because that, you know, what we've become to accept and what we've become to experience as Christmas, this has been one of those difficult times. I can speak of myself, and I know I've spoken to others who have just said that I'm just not feeling it this time around. And it's been a struggle. And that pall of darkness, that atmosphere of darkness that has come into the world, it is resting on so many of us. And we are going to have to pray like we've never prayed before. We're going to have to intercede like we've never interceded before, because we want the power, we want the light of God to shine on us and to shine on our world so that the world will receive illumination. And you know what? We are the ones who've got the light. We can't stop singing about the light of the world is Jesus, and he shines on the inside of us. And so we've got to shine brighter than ever in this time and in this season to make a difference in our world. Going over to the book of Isaiah 11 verse 2. I encourage believers to be vigilant in this season and to continue to pray for greater clarity and openness of our eyes, as this is a season when peace and goodwill should fill the hearts of men, but more and more we see hate and darkness. filling our world. We've got the answer, folks. Isaiah 11:2. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, David's father, and a branch out of his roots shall grow and bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. And it shall make him of quick understanding, and his delight shall be in the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, neither decide by the hearing of his ears. Jesus had seven anointings. He probably had a little bit more of that, but when we read in Revelations 1 and 4, we see where John begins to speak about the seven spirits that surrounded the throne of God. First of all, he had the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord rested upon him. And then he had the Spirit of wisdom. He also had the Spirit of counsel. Jesus also had the Spirit of knowledge. He had the Spirit of understanding. He had the Spirit of might. He had the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord is the same Spirit that rested on David when he was anointed king. Remember when Samuel came and he sought for the next king, and they brought all of these big, tall, strong, strapping guys before Samuel, and they said, well, this one must be him, this one must be him. And each time Samuel looked and said, nope, not you, nope, not you, nope, not you, nope, not you, because he was not going by what his eyes saw. He was not going by what his ears heard. But when God has given you a mandate, when God has spoken to you, and when God has made a declaration to you, you've got to go by what you hear the Spirit saying. You've got to go by what you hear God saying. And Samuel knew what his directive was. And Samuel sought for the one that God said he should anoint. And Samuel turns around to Jesse and he looks at all of them and says, now listen, I've gone through all these big, tall, strapping brothers, but this is not it. Where is the one? Don't you have another son? Then he say, I got another son, but he ain't no king. He's out there with the sheep. He's a shepherd. We don't see nothing kingly about him. We don't see anything exceptional about him. He hangs out with the sheep. And every so often we go there and we hear him singing to the sheep. So there's something a little strange about him, Samuel. We don't know about this David. But you know what? That was the one that God had chosen. That was the one that God had anointed. And then when Samuel anointed him, from that day forward, the Spirit of the Lord rested upon him. Something strange happened. Something different happens when the Spirit of the Lord begins to rest upon you. And upon in this time and in this season, we're praying for more revelation. We're praying for more wisdom. We're praying for more understanding. And what made David exceptional was that the Spirit of the Lord rested upon him. Talking about the manifestation of the Spirit of wisdom, believers cannot rely on what we see and what we hear in the natural. The spiritual journey we take has a tremendous supernatural component. Those who will war in the natural do so to their own peril. 2 Corinthians 10:2. Paul says, I intend to show toward those few who regard us as if we walked according to the flesh, like men without the Spirit. You cannot walk this Christian walk without the Spirit. You can try all you want. I am going to tell you right now, you're not going to succeed. You're not going to succeed in the natural, because this walk requires you to be connected to a supernatural God. This walk requires you that you converse daily with a supernatural God. This walk is going to require that you have interaction and that you're being led by a supernatural God. Paul says, for though we walk in the flesh as mortal men,
and we are not carrying on our spiritual warfare according to the flesh and using the weapons of man. The weapons of our warfare, we know it, they are not carnal, they're not physical, they're not weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. When we pray, when we come together, when we gather like we've done this morning, we have put a major crushing on the enemy this morning, and beginning from last night, we felt the presence of God in this place in a powerful way. God moved, God touched us, God strengthened us, because God knows that in this season, in this time, he needs us to be strengthened, fortified, because the battle we're raging right now, it is a strong, it is a powerful one, and we have to be fortified so that we can fight this battle. Paul says, we are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. Our eyes will see and observe things in this life, in this time, and in this season, which will cause us to call our relationship and our walk into question. Folks, you have to understand that it is okay sometimes when you say to God in the morning time, after you've gone through a long day before, and you say to God, really? Really, God? Do I have to go down this path again? God, you said you'd be with me. Do I have to stay? It's okay. It's okay for you to question God. It's okay for you to ask those questions. But I'm going to tell you, like some of those old prophets in the Old Testament, are you prepared for when God speaks back? Are you prepared for when he answers you? He does stuff like, hey, consider the ways of the animals. Consider the ways of the trees. Consider this. And God just tells us, look, you stop and you pause and you really think about what you're asking me now. I said I'd be with you. I said I'd provide. Hasn't he provided? Hasn't he been with you? Hasn't he stuck with you? Hasn't he seen you through? If I were to stop and ask for some testimonies this morning, I know there are testimonies in the house of God's faithfulness. Not that you didn't have to stop and ask him. It looked bad sometimes, but you did not go by what your eyes saw. You did not go by what your ears heard, and you especially didn't go by what your family members told you. Because if you went by what your family members told you, you would have quit a long time ago. But you go by what you know God has spoken to you, what God has declared to you, and so you keep pressing on. God will always require that we see with our spiritual eyes and discernment. Such eyes will see people, things, and situations for what they really are from the God-focused perspectives. You know, if we look in the natural, all we see is a bunch of clouds and a whole lot of the army gathered against us. But when God begins to roll back the cloud, when God begins to speak to us through his heavenly wisdom, we begin to see that, oh my God, these brothers in trouble, because if they move, there's an army of angels waiting to destroy them. And that's what God has placed at our disposal. He's given us those spiritual eyes so that we can see. God is filling the earth with the knowledge of his wisdom. Or in other words, God is creating a world. God is bringing a world into alignment according to the way he sees things and according to the way he wants things to run. And so God wants in this time and in this season for us to be endowed with his knowledge and with his wisdom. Pastor Bill, those four eyes that I told you about, we missed a whole page. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Well, we're good, and that's why you have your notes. And you know, when you've got your notes, it's okay for you to look at the speaker with a quizzing eyes and say, Pastor, where you going? It's okay. We can handle it. We can handle it. So we skipped an entire section. When you get home, you read that entire section that we missed. Amen. Because God wants to talk about this spirit of wisdom. Amen. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge or understanding. It is the ability to think and act in such a way that common sense prevails and choices are beneficial and productive. Let me say that again. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge and understanding. It is the ability to think and act in such a way that common sense principles prevails and choices are beneficial and productive. Sometimes the choices we make, they may be beneficial, but they may not be productive. Sometimes the decisions we make, they may be productive, but they may not be beneficial. Wisdom is taking all of that information, it's taking all of that knowledge and knowing how to put it together so that we can have a beneficial and we can have a productive result. Wisdom begins and ends with the fear of the Lord. If you have no fear of the Lord, if you don't have a reverential and obedient fear of the Lord, you are the dumbest man or woman in the world. And you can tell your friends that. You can tell your mama that. You can tell your papa that. Pastor Josie says, if you don't got no fear of the Lord, you are the dumbest man or woman in the world. Because the fear of the Lord, it is the beginning of wisdom. Or in other words, if you want to be wise, if you want to have wisdom in this lifetime, the first thing you ought to do is you ought to fear the Lord. You ought to respect the presence of the Lord. You ought to have a reverential understanding that God will see, God will judge, God will hold you accountable for everything you do in this life. And so everything you do, everything you say, you've got to check it in with God. It's not what does my party think about it, not what does my pastor think about it, not what does my mom think about it, not what does my friends think about it, but what does God think about it? If we were to just stop, pause, and check all our actions and decide, what does God think about what we're doing? What does God think about the next thing that we're going to do? It will have, just a strong impact on how we go about our daily lives. The one thing that we are missing in this world, the one thing that we're missing in this earth realm is people who operate out of wisdom. Wisdom. People who operate from a place of understanding what it is that God says, what God wants, and what God desires in this time and in this season. Believers, we cannot stop praying for wisdom. We cannot stop seeking for wisdom. Because when we seek for wisdom, when we ask for wisdom, we're seeking to understand God in a much better way. And I'm telling you, there's a deficit of wisdom. Proverbs 3:19 and 20 says that godly wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, they all go together. It says, the Lord by his wisdom has founded the earth. By his understanding, he has established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up, and the clouds drip with dew. Now, folk, we're going to be made to understand that God's perspective is wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Let me say it again. God's perspective, or the way God views this whole thing, is wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Now, that doesn't sound the way you learned it in school, right? The way you learned it in school was knowledge, understanding, and then you become wise. God says, wisdom, understanding, knowledge. The world says, knowledge, understanding, wisdom. In other words, the world says, accumulate a whole bunch of information about everything you can possibly gather. Then learn to understand it. And then that will make you wise. God says, seek after me for wisdom. I will give you understanding, and then you can accumulate knowledge. Let me ask you the question. Who was it that made this human body? Who was it that put the world into alignment? The writer says that the Lord, by his wisdom, firstly, has founded the earth. And by his understanding, he established the heavens. And then by his knowledge, the deeps were broken up. Let me explain. Let me broke down for you. If there's nothing else today, we can give you these definitions, and then I can send you home, and I would say, I have done my assignment for the day. The definition of knowledge. Knowledge is the fact or condition of knowing something with familiarity gained through experience or association, acquaintance with or understanding of a science, art, or technique. My teacher's going to have a debate with me after this, but that's okay. We're ready for the debate. Amen. And so knowledge is being aware of something. The key here to understand that being aware of it does not make you understand it. Let me say that again. The key here is to understand that being aware of it does not make you understand it. And I like to talk about those levels of understanding. The teachers are going to get happy this morning because we're going to talk a little bit about this whole education process. We all start off on this very, very low scale where we, you know, they call it conscious incompetence. Meaning, we don't know nothing about nothing. We don't know that we are blissfully unaware of anything. That's the lowest level of learning, unconscious incompetence. We don't know what we don't know, so it doesn't matter. It's like those little kids that go into kindergarten for the first day. Anybody in here old enough to watch the, remember the paper chase? Thank you, Ronnie. And you remember at the beginning of the paper chase that the professor would say to all of his, it was a program about law students, when they used to have really good law students who weren't trying to kill up everybody. But he would say to them, this big old guy, I don't remember, what was his name? The big old, we'll get it afterwards. But he would say to them, you come into my classroom with a brain full of mush. But if you survive my class, you will become a lawyer. At the end of the day. So in other words, even in law school, the students, they end up on that first day with a brain full of mush. They don't know what they don't know. And then we go to that higher level of learning, of conscious competence, where we know what we don't know, but we can still make a decision that we're just going to stay there. And we could be happily, blissfully aware that I don't know what I don't know, and that's okay with me. So many people are in the church. They know what they don't know, but they aren't interested in doing anything to change the dynamics. You know what the Word of God says. You hear the Word of God being proclaimed every day. You might as well just stay home and watch football. Okay, so I don't need to encourage anybody, okay? But you come to church and you hear the Word of God and you know what you don't know, but you still won't do anything about it. Then the next level of learning is I know what I don't know and I'm doing something about it. And that highest level of learning is I know what we call conscious competence. I know what I know and I do it and it becomes a habit. So it's like waking up in the morning. You wake up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you wash your face, and you comb your hair, and you take a bath. I always say that we have to teach our kids to do this because the kids, they don't like brushing their teeth, washing their face, and taking a bath. They would go into the shower, and they would turn the shower on, and they would come out and say, I took a bath. And then you would say, let me do the test. And you touch their body, and it's like, man, you haven't seen any water in a week. And God help you if you do the sniff test. You know? But that's the way we want to get. It's not just about acquiring information, but it's about applying that information. And that's what true knowledge is. Now let's go on to understanding. Understanding is a mental grasp. It's a comprehension of things. The power of comprehending, especially the capacity to apprehend general relations of particulars. Or in other words, we've got to understand how things connect. If you're driving on the highway at 55 miles per hour and you're holding up a cell phone in your hand and trying to send a text message, what's going to happen? I'm driving along the highway recently and you know, I'm seeing a young man pass me on the left. and he's blissfully on 826 on the Golden Glades. He's on his phone, and, you know, here's the thing. I wanted to pull out my phone and videotape him. But I said, hold on. There's a correlation between him driving 55 miles per hour plus on the expressway, sending a text message, and me driving at 55 miles per hour, observing him, pulling out my phone, and videotaping him also. So understanding is making the connection, the correlation between things. Notice how this concept is based on knowledge. This means if you understand mathematics, you understand the calculator, the calculations your calculator performs for you. If you understand electronics and engineering, then you understand how the calculator performs the calculations. And see, the definition of wisdom from the worldview, it's accumulated philosophic or scientific learning or knowledge, or it is the ability to discern inequalities and relationships inside. God, though, has a different way of assigning wisdom, and we spoke about it differently a few minutes ago. Wisdom is not just built upon the foundation of knowledge and understanding, but is much more the sum of these concepts and is understanding the correlation between all of these things. God says, when you seek after me, I'm going to give you the ability to correlate all of these things together first so that when you receive it, now you know what to do with it. I mean, how many of our basketball stars and sports and other athletes have received millions and millions of dollars? It will make you cry. It ain't my money and it makes me cry. How can a man earn $250 million over a lifetime career of about 10 years, and at the end of his 10-year career, he don't got two coins to rub together? He did not have wisdom. He had knowledge of money. He had understanding of money. He knew that if he walked into the store, into Mercedes-Benz dealership, they will sell him the most expensive Rolls Royce there is in the Mercedes dealership. I love my brothers, man. I'm not going nowhere without my brothers because they got it, man. He's in the Mercedes dealership. She got it too? He's in the Mercedes dealership. And they sell him the most expensive Rolls Royce. The Mercedes dealership don't sell Rolls Royce. He understands that his money has power. He has knowledge that a Mercedes is a good car, but he ends up with a Rolls Royce that he don't know what to do with. He has no wisdom. God says, I want to give you wisdom in this time and in this season. James says in James 3, 13 through 17, there is a practical application of wisdom. We're talking about growing in the spirit of wisdom and knowledge. James says, who among you is wise and intelligent? Let him by his good conduct show his good deeds with the gentleness and humility of true wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be arrogant and as a result, be in defiance of the truth. The superficial wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthy, secular, natural, unspiritual, even demonic. That is the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of this world, it is demonic, it is secular, it is unspiritual. For where do jealousy and selfish ambition exist? There is disorder, unrest, rebellion, and every evil thing and moral degrading practice. That's what we see in our world today. Our world that operates from a sense of wisdom and a sense of knowledge that defies everything that God has lifted up and that God has exalted and attempts to exalt itself. Godly wisdom, it leads humans into daily applications of knowledge. Let me say that again. Godly wisdom leads humans into daily applications of knowledge. Or in other words, the wisdom that God gives you will on a daily basis allow you to make decisions. Your day doesn't just happen. Your life doesn't just happen. Remember that old book about Topsy-Topsy who just showed up? Didn't know how old she was, didn't know where she come from, she just showed up. Well, your life is not like Topsy's. Your life is planned out. Your life has been laid out. Your life has been designed by your maker. So first of all, you don't take your life so lightly. And then secondly, you don't allow anybody else to take your life so lightly, because your days have been numbered. Your life has been ordered. Your steps have been ordered. And God has a plan for you. Don't you mess up God's plan, and don't you allow anybody else to mess up the plans that God has laid out for you. This wisdom that God gives, it is first of all spiritual. If we do not walk in the Spirit, we cannot avail ourselves of godly wisdom. Believers, people of God, messengers, intercessors, our walk with God, it is a spiritual walk first of all. If we want to receive godly wisdom, we've got to tap into the spiritual walk. We've got to walk in the Spirit. I've got an Android phone. Pastor Bill got an Android phone. Pastor Bill needed a charger last night. And Pastor Bill, the first thing he says is, "Who got an Android charger?" Someone else says, "I got a charger." And he says, "What kind of charger you got?" "It's an iPhone charger." Pastor Bill looks at him and said, "No, you didn't hear me the first time. I said I need an Android charger." There's a reason why he wanted an Android charger. An Android charger taps into the Android technology, and it gives him Android information that allows him to get an Android charge. Why do we as believers, we are supposed to be tapped into the Spirit, and we're trying to tap into the wisdom of the world. It doesn't work like that. The wisdom of the world, it is earthy. It is unspiritual. If we want to tap in, and if we want to receive power from God, then we've got to tap into the spiritual source. If it works that way in the world, why are we trying to do something different in the spiritual? Godly wisdom comes from being connected to a spiritual God. Godly wisdom is not earthly. It's not according to this world. And the wisdom of this world, the wisdom, the core, the pathway of this world goes against the wisdom of God. And it is contrary to the same. Karen gave us an article, and Pastor David alluded to it this morning, that the Spirit of the Lord is moving across the earth, confirming and affirming the Word of God and doing something in the Muslim world. If we were to go by the wisdom of this world says, let's bomb the bejesus out of the Muslim world. Well, you could do that. But you bomb the bejesus out of the Muslim world, and you're literally bombing some people who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, and you're destroying an opportunity for the Word of God to go through and to make a change and to make a transformation. Listen, folks, you've got to understand that you are in this world, but you are not of this world. And sometimes the people in this world, they say the stupidest things, and we go along with it because it sounds good, but everything that sounds good does not line up with the Word of God. And we see what's happening in the Muslim world, in spite of what we see on television, that Muslims are being saved. Let me say it again. Muslims are being saved. People who want to kill Americans, they are being saved. People who want to come to America and do jihad against America, they are being saved, because they are encountering something in the United States that they've never encountered before. And the thing about it is, God is not trusting the believers so much with the wisdom of this world. God says, I'm not waiting for IHOP to get up and go to the Middle East. I am going to speak directly to the people in the Middle East. I'm going to speak to them. I'm going to visit them with visions and dreams. I am not waiting for the Western church to go and talk to them. I'm going to speak to them directly. Whilst it is the perspective, and whilst it is the prerogative of civil governments to do whatever it is that they think they need to do to protect their people, our responsibility is to drop some atomic bombs of prayer in the Middle East. So when we are here during the daytime, Lord, bring down the forces of Muslim. Lord, bring down the powers of Islam. Lord, go ahead and afflict those in Islam, in Islamic countries, until they feel your power, until they know your power. Lord, speak to those in Islamic countries. Visit them in visions and dreams. That's our prayer. That's the way we approach what is happening in Islamic countries. And when we are able to bring down walls with our prayers, my spirit was so lifted when I received that word, because so many times we are in this place praying. The young people there in Casey and other parts of Florida, they're praying and they're saying, the more we pray, it looks like the worst things get. But here is the revelation and here's the word of affirmation that in spite of what we see with our eyes and in spite of what we hear with our ears, God is moving. The Spirit of the Lord is moving, and the Spirit of the Lord is bringing about change. Our prayers are making the difference. Oh, church, I tell you this morning, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous, it still avails a whole lot. Don't stop praying. Don't stop seeking God. Don't stop crying out. Don't stop calling out. Don't stop crying out for your children. Don't stop crying out for your family. Don't stop crying out for your communities. God hears. The wisdom of this world says that nothing is happening, but you believe in your spirit that the God you serve, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that which we can even begin to think or imagine. You can't even imagine. I'm sitting here and I'm blown away. You're trying to tell me that Muslims being saved in Iraq, you're trying to tell me that Islamic people are being saved in Afghanistan, in North Africa, and all those other countries, in Sudan. I didn't even know there were Christians in those nations, but God is doing the work. You hold on to your confidence and your faith. All over the world, the Spirit of God is moving in contrast to what the popular opinion is. All the world shall come into godly alignment, and that's what godly wisdom does. Godly wisdom brings all the world into alignment. God wants to bring the world into alignment. That's what our godly wisdom does. As we send up our prayers, the water of the Spirit broods over desolate lands, cities, locations, and cause the creative power of the Spirit to bring forth fruit. This, again, is one of the commands of the root of Jesse. He shall bring forth much fruit. Wherever there are people of God praying, interceding, much fruit is being produced. I'm not saying much fruit is being produced right in your immediate presence, but much fruit is being produced. It is for this reason that we cannot go by what our eyes see and our ears hear. The pursuit of godly wisdom, it's desirable. Let me say that again. The pursuit of godly wisdom is desirable. It is about pursuing the outer limits of our godly potential. You're not being pretentious if you come in here every day and you say, God, give me wisdom, give me revelation, give me understanding. You are not being pretentious. You are not being superficial. You're not being too godly. You're not being too spiritually minded. When you pray for godly wisdom, you're saying, God, help me to align with your way of doing things. It is okay to pray for godly wisdom. It is okay to pursue godly wisdom. Godly wisdom brings us into alignment with God's plans, with God's seasons, and what God wants to accomplish in your lives. Jesus came as Messiah. He proudly proclaimed that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good news. He has anointed me to set the captives free. What has God anointed you to do in this season? The Messiah has come. The Messiah came. He came with all of his anointing and the anointing that rested on him. Unleash the Spirit and the power of God. You have Messiah resident on the inside of you. You have the Spirit of God resident on the inside of you. What did the Spirit of God resident on the inside of you lead you to and propel you to? Have you been saved for so long? Have you been a part of this body for so long? Have you been in the kingdom of God for so long that the Spirit of God does not lead you, does not prompt you anymore? Have you been saved so long that you no longer hear the godly promptings? You no longer hear that the Spirit is calling out to you and the Spirit of say, come on up higher? What does the release of the Spirit accomplish in you? Proverbs 2 admonishes us, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commands with thee, so that thou incline thine ears unto wisdom, turn your ears towards God. I was sharing with Pastor David, and I said, I had to get rid of the cable, and I had to get rid of the TV. Okay, so I'm still working on the smartphone, okay? One at a time. I had to get rid of the TV because the TV commands too much of my time. It commands too much of my attention. It's the same news over and over, but it keeps calling out to me. Come, Joe, listen, listen, listen. Yes, you heard it 30 minutes ago, but come listen to go. There's a, you know, there's an update. Oh, what does CNN call the thing they do every 30 seconds? Breaking news. It was the same news that was on 30 minutes ago. How could it be breaking news? And they put it in a loop. So it calls out to me and I have to resist it. Incline your ears towards God. Apply your heart to understanding. God wants us to receive his wisdom. God wants to give us understanding. Folks, God say, ask me for it. It'll cause me to break out in my old island dialect. God say, ask me for it, man. In other words, God said, I will give you wisdom. I will give you understanding. Just ask me for it. Ask me for it. Ask me for it. How many of you got your Christmas list from January of the beginning of this year from your kids? Mommy, Daddy, this is what I want. And if you didn't get it by January, certainly by October, November. Well, you got it now, I'm sure. Lucy, your kids did not give you a list yet? I know Lauren has given you her list a long time ago. God, in other words, they've updated it. Well, God says it's okay. Give me a list and you can update your list. Today you can come to me and ask for wisdom. Tomorrow you can come to me and ask for understanding. God says you can cry out if thou criest out after knowledge. And if you lifted up thy voice for understanding. In other words, this is something you got to cry out for. This is something you got to labor for. This is something you're going to have to press into God for and say, God, I need wisdom. I don't understand how to walk this walk. I don't understand how to live this life. Give me wisdom. I am crying out to you. Yes, Lord, I know it was Saturday and I cried out to you for wisdom, but it's Sunday, Lord, and I still don't got it. Give me wisdom. God says, cry out to me for it. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hidden treasures. In other words, you're not going to get wisdom by reading page one. You're not going to get wisdom by reading page two. And if you skip to the middle, you still ain't going to get it. You got to dig through all the pages. God says, search for it diligently. It's not going to be found. Sometimes you got to even turn off Christian television because sometimes what they're preaching and teaching on Christian television, it is not wisdom and it's not understanding. You've got to search for God for yourself and understand that the wisdom that God has for you, it is for you. The wisdom that God gives me, the anointing that God gives me, it is for me and it's for me to impart. God gives you a different wisdom. I made a note in the first part of the page that I missed that when the Spirit of God comes upon Barry, Barry is going to sing. Our friend Barry, who's not here today, but it also gives him. Don't you see all those concoctions he makes that help people medically? That's when the anointing of God comes upon him. When the anointing comes upon the musician, he sings, he prays, he cries out. Godly wisdom is going to allow us to align with the potential that God has placed on the inside of us. I am saying to us today, folks, we've got to seek godly wisdom because God wants in this time and in this season to use his people to have an impact in the world. And the impact that we're going to have, it's not going to be the impact that the popular culture is seeking. The popular culture is leading us down a path and it's leading us in a way that I'm just totally confused. How does a man start his journey as a man, as a good man, as a handsome man, as a desirable man who can win, who plays athletics? And somewhere along the line, he decides, I am tired of being a man. I no longer want to be a man. I want to be a woman. And not only a woman, but an ugly woman. He was a handsome brother. I may need to go and pray about that a little later, but the wisdom of this world, it leads us in the wrong direction. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, because James says to us in his book, if any of you lack wisdom to guide him through a decision or circumstance, he is to ask of our benevolent God, who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. In other words, if we ask God for wisdom, he will give us wisdom. But he must ask for wisdom in faith. Ask for wisdom in faith without doubting God's willingness to help. God owns wisdom. God wants to give wisdom. God says to believers, ask me for wisdom and I will give it to you. Ask me for the anointing. Ask me for my spirit to rest upon you so that I can endow you with godly wisdom. Godly wisdom that comes from above. Godly wisdom that is spiritual. Godly wisdom that will bring you into alignment with my plans and my thoughts for you, your family, and everything that you put your hands to in this season. Father, I pray for this people that stand before me today. I pray, Father, that first of all, your spirit will rest upon them. I pray, Father, that the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon this house. I pray the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon this people. And then, Father, I ask this morning that the Spirit of wisdom will rest upon this house and that the Spirit of wisdom will rest upon this people. I pray, Father, that the Spirit of godly counsel will rest upon this house and will rest upon this people. I pray, Father, that the spirit of knowledge and the spirit of understanding will rest upon this house and will rest upon this people. I pray, Father, that the spirit of might, Lord, will rest upon this house and will rest upon this people. I pray, Father, this morning that the spirit, Lord, of the fear of the Lord, of the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord will rest upon this people. I pray this morning, Father, that you will endow us with your wisdom this morning. Let your wisdom, Father, let it fall upon us, Lord. Your wisdom that comes from above. Your wisdom, Father, that is spiritual. Your wisdom, Father, that is heavenly. The wisdom, Father, and the Spirit of the Lord that rested upon Jesus. I'm asking this morning, Father, that you will allow that same Spirit to rest upon us. I'm asking, Lord, that you will allow that same Spirit to cover over us. I'm asking, Father, that you will allow that same Spirit to hover over us. Hover over us this morning, Father, with your Spirit. Brood over us, Father, until you've released every potential that resides on the inside of us. Hover over us, Father. Brood over us, Father, until you've released what you've placed on the inside of us. Lord, we are no longer content, Father, to go about our lives the way we used to. We're not content to go about our lives, Father, in the way that we've been going. Lord, we want you to breathe on us. We want you to hover over us, Father. We want you, Father, to release your anointing over us, Father. We will not stop, Lord, until you give us wisdom. We're going to cry out, Father, until you give us knowledge. We're going to cry out, Father, in the midnight hour until you speak to us, Lord. We're going to cry out, Father, until our knowledge becomes filled, Lord, with your understanding. We're going to cry out, Father, until we hear your voice leading and directing us. We're going to cry out, Father, until your wisdom fills our minds, fills our hearts, Lord. We're going to cry out, Lord, until we become, Lord, like the earth that you desire. Filled, Lord, with the knowledge, the wisdom, and the understanding of you. Fill us, Lord, until we are filled, Lord.